Should I just honestly start up the Rage Corner music instead of Victory Monday? It feels like I should.
I mean, there's no victory to be had, so.
I know, but that's the name of our music. Again, once again, always have to say this, graciously given to us by I Am Brian Shepherd. But no, let's just fire up the music right now.
You're yelling at me again.
I am. I'm yelling.
You're getting mad.
Can you hear me?
You're shaking.
I am yelling at you.
Well, reckon you can suck my
yelling.
Can you take a break?
Yelling.
Can you take a break?
I'm yelling at you.
Can you take a break?
Yelling.
Can I get my sucked?
Can you hear me? Yelling.
Can I get my sucked?
Yelling. Yelling.
Are you ready to suck now? Have you got it all out? Mad, ain't you?
Stupid.
Red face.
Listen.
Now you're calling me stupid.
Listen. Yes, I am.
This is Kangaroo Court.
You know what? You have a constitutional right to be a dumbass.
I'm Chris Perfett, the adequate host at Chris Perfett. I did not get to see this game today, and yet somehow I am still very mad. Jeremy Reisman, the fearless leader, is here in this conference call. He has named himself Dean Bland Dickhole. He is at Detroit Online. Thank you.
That was therapeutic.
Very therapeutic. And Ryan Matthews. Back is the motherfucking rock god. At Ryan_POD. And we are here in the ashes of what was probably going to be a pretty good day. Just absolutely, and pardon my French, I've already gotten emails about this. It was absolutely fucking ruined because some dumbass refs. Yes, we're going to start on the refs because you know what, folks? It's not even a Detroit versus everybody thing. We can always joke about the refs screwing over the Lions, and we've made wanking motions about that before, but this was absolutely a screw job. It was. I'm sorry, folks. You got screwed on this. You got screwed on this because of a rule that, I mean, people are already asking us, are they going to revise the rule? Probably not. Probably not. But in the modern NFL, a 10-second runoff is because they screwed up on what they called on the field to begin with. That's shit. That's just fucking shit.
And if they do revise the rule, guess what? It doesn't change the fact that the Lions have an L hanging in their column. So
once again, the Lions are the beta testing team of the NFL.
We're all just beta cucks at this point.
Jeremy, I'm going to get much more raw on this than I was on Facebook Live just because I've had a chance for these feelings to like stew and. I'm so mad.
I'm mad as hell. I didn't even see this game. I missed it because I was out at a Chargers and Chiefs tailgate all day for a piece I'm working on. And yet somehow when I got back on the Metro, I was coming home and living vicariously through Lions Twitter. And then everyone flipped out when Stafford had done it again. He had done the comeback again. I started retweeting everyone. Then ominously, I see from the Free Press Twitter account, hold on, this one's under review. And I know then I fucked up.
You think you fucked up? I went into my emails after the game. I mentioned this on Facebook Live. I'm currently working with a company. I'm not going to name him out because he ends up looking like the bad guy in the story. But he's working with me to get a new Pride of Detroit t-shirt out in the makes. And he sent me an email. Let me read it verbatim. Cheers on the comeback victory over Atlanta. Speaking of, do you think a Detroit comeback city shirt might work? That was at 1:22 p.m. Pacific. 1:25 p.m. Pacific. OMG, I'm so sorry I sent that email. I thought it was a done deal. Sorry, man. Tough loss. My bad. And of course, I'm not going to hate him for it. Like, I'm so busy during the games that I don't use my phone at all. So like 2 hours after the game, I had to shuffle through 20 texts, like half of them being like, oh my God, Stafford. And the other half going, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Are you okay?
Today sucked. Today really fucking sucked. And to make matters worse, a fire broke out at Ford Field too.
Chris, yeah. That's a metaphor.
I know. Do you think Reno said it?
I don't know. I hope so, because he didn't even go downstairs. I think after the game, he just left.
He just left. Jesus. Oh, they're credentialing us for this bullshit.
Here's the thing about the referees. I'm I'm so beyond upset at the people who think that they have one still image that shows Golden Tate's knee not on the ground, and they're like, huh? It's like, no. Golden Tate's knee was clearly down. He was short of the goal line. Be mad at the fact that the rules are the reason why the Lions got screwed today.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Lions got screwed by the refs, but it wasn't because they made the wrong call. I mean, not on the review. Yeah, Tate was short. What I mean to say is they made the wrong call initially. If they had ruled Tate short the first time like they were supposed to, you probably get off another play before 10 seconds.
I think the Lions Twitter account made a pretty good argument for the fact that they moved 27 yards against the Vikings last year to get into formation and set up a snap and spike the ball in 7 seconds. So if you're telling me that the deepest player away from the line of scrimmage on that last play would have been 10 yards because that's the back of the end zone, if you're going to sit there and tell me that the Lions couldn't get another snap off in 8 seconds, I'm going to call you Dean Bland Dickhole. Because that's just a farce, though, right? Like, we all agree with that, right?
Yeah, football has just, like, the way football is played, 10 seconds is now an eternity.
Yes, but you guys are talking in a vacuum. In a vacuum, the Lions get off a play, they get stopped short, they run to the line, and they get it done. If he would have been called short, guess what? Half of the team would not have realized it. They'd be celebrating a touchdown. They'd be having a Riley moment all over again.
No, they'd be looking absolutely to the refs to see if they need to run another one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I disagree with you, Jeremy, because every time that there's a close play near the goal line, you always see, I mean, like, linemen will put their hands up in the air, but they're always looking at the refs for confirmation. So if they're not signaling for a touchdown, I think that they get on the line of scrimmage.
This is absolutely not college. You are not seeing guys rushing the field prematurely in the NFL. They know to look to the right people.
Golden Tate gets right in that ref's face if he calls him short. 100%. He doesn't immediately run back to the line. Okay. He tries to plead his case.
Hey, mystery, guess what? Mystery universe where this shit happens. Yeah, I'm sure you can come up with any other arrangement here where the Lions are not going to be the professionals and just line right back up. Yeah, hey, I'm glad to entertain this.
If Golden Tate is running towards the sideline judge who's gauging whether or not it's a touchdown, then that's good because he's basically running back to his position where he needs to be.
Whatever.
See, this was not the blame thing I was expecting out of Jeremy here. I was expecting Jeremy to have the contrarian viewpoint when we came in here. I wasn't expecting that one.
I mean, I'm not trying to be contrarian at this point. I'm just saying this sucked ass. No one is really in the wrong here, though. It's just an unfortunate set of circumstances. I don't know if the rules should be changed from a 10-second runoff to a 5-second runoff. Maybe it should, maybe it shouldn't. I think 10 seconds does seem a little far, but the reasoning for the rule makes sense. It just sucks ass. It just sucks ass. This sucks ass. That's all I can say. This sucks ass.
I think Jeremy was going to come in here and try to talk about how if the Lions had lost, they still deserve it because they played terrible. That's what I thought the contrarian thing.
Oh, we're getting to that. The Lions did play terrible this game, and we're going to get to that next segment, but that doesn't mean that we can't be mad about what happened at the end of the game, because everyone has the full right to be mad about how this game ended. If you want to claim conspiracy theories, that's on you. But I'm just mad because of what happened. Not at anybody in particular. I'm just mad because it happened, because it sucked ass. Did I mention it sucked ass? Because it sucked ass.
Here's one other thing, too. People who say, well, we didn't get the call to go our way. Actually, the Lions did get the call to go their way. It just didn't work out in their favor, okay? The fact that the refs wrongly ruled Golden Tate being in the end zone, that's in your favor. Saying that the guy got in the end zone but really didn't, that's ruling in your favor. It just sucks. Hold on, let me quote Jeremy. It sucks ass that that it ended up not being the case, and there's this stupid finicky rule that there's going to be a 10-second runoff that costs you another shot at getting in the end zone. Well, let's completely ignore that the first two plays on that on that drive at the end there where it was first and goal, those first two plays were terrible.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, it was a huge advantage that they called it a touchdown on the field, because what if that Falcons helmet was just a little bit higher and it obscured Tate's knee a little bit more?
Yeah.
Then suddenly there's nothing conclusive and the Lions win.
Exactly. So that is literally a call going in your favor when they rule it a touchdown. And I know it's better to rule it a touchdown than to not in 9 times out of 10. And this was just the one time where it didn't work out to the Lions' benefit that I was ruled a touchdown. But you need conclusive evidence. And like you said, Jeremy, if that one angle was really the only angle they had, and there's no other angle that's going to be better than that, if that Falcons helmet is in the way, the Lions are 3-0. And maybe we're singing different tunes.
Can I just say how much, again, to quote Jeremy, this sucks ass? Because I'm looking around the rest of the NFL today, and it's like nearly everyone else got to have their little fun comeback moments. Aaron Rodgers just won in overtime over the Bengals, and that sucks ass.
The Bears won in overtime.
Tariq Cohen, my God, Tariq Cohen. And then the Eagles, no time left, rookie kicker hits a 61-yard field goal to get the win. And the Lions, what do the Lions get? Old egg salad.
I feel like I'm fucking hungover, man. I didn't drink at all today, and I just feel like that game took me for a damn ride and not a good one. Lions fan.
Sport is so fucking stupid.
This podcast is keeping me from watching wrestling.
But no, it's keeping you from playing Destiny with us.
No, I'm going to quote Jeremy on that. That game sucks ass.
You've only played like 2 minutes with it.
It's confusing, and everything just makes me mad right now.
I mean, yeah, I would be chicken mad wings. At everything else. Yeah,
chicken just... wings would make me mad right now.
Really? Even now?
I'd find something to be mad at about it, for sure.
All right. Do you want to move on to the next segment?
Yeah, so I'm looking at stuff. I'm looking at the stopwatch here, and it's like, okay, we should probably move on. Yeah, let's move on. Let's actually talk some more about this game so Jeremy can get his hate shit out of the way. And later on, we need to talk about other stuff that's been going around in the NFL. And I think we're trying to put together a mailbag pretty late. We're going to see how many people come in here with questions that aren't just blind, driven, mad. And you know what? I don't know if we're going to do, it's on your docket or not, Jeremy, but next segment we have to talk about Eric Ebron. Pride of Detroit PODcast rolls along here. We didn't even explain what POD stands for in the PODcast, but it doesn't matter. I'm not telling you. We're all very mad today.
Sports is stupid. One thing really quick before we jump into the actual game stuff, the one thing we didn't really talk about is the fact that there could have been 11 seconds left on the clock instead of 10, or instead of 8, I guess, is what they had. It's a fair point to have, but one thing to always keep in mind is that the clock on the TV is not always directly lined with the one on the field. So whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't Mike Pereira point out in some tweet when he was trying to defend Dean Blend Dickhold, just because that's what these guys do, is
the brotherhood.
They always come to each other's defenses. He got on Twitter and was like, it was actually 10 seconds, so get off Dean's case. It's like, okay, rules still suck ass.
All right. That's all I wanted to talk about.
I don't think we ever said there definitively. I know we're getting a lot of stuff in the mailbag. I'm just going to say straight up, I don't think the rule's going to change because of this game.
Nope.
I really don't, because that's a freak incident. 99 times out of 10, it doesn't happen, which means, of course, the Lions get it to happen to them.
Yep.
All right. Let's talk about how the Lions actually played in this game now.
It's kind of like score-agami, but it's like play-agami.
it's error-agami.
Yeah. Find me another time that exact scenario has played itself out. Yeah.
Just like the batted ball. Just exactly like the batted ball. or take your pick, I guess.
You know how the Lions played in this game?
Yes, please go on.
They sucked ass. All right. I think I keep forgetting who it was on Twitter. The best way I can describe this game is that the defense let this team down completely, but they were also the reason that they were in the game at the end.
Right. Didn't I see like they didn't have a punt? They didn't force Atlanta to have a punt until like the fourth quarter.
Until like the last 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. But they got three turnovers from Matt Ryan.
Yes. And one being a pick six. And there's, I can't say enough about the game that Glover Quinn had. I can't say enough about the game that Darius Slay had. End of list. Not end of list. Sorry. Let me add one more name because he deserves plenty of praise for being perfect on the year. Matt Prater.
Go. Hold up. You're not going to praise my big adult son?
No. Damn, because if we're talking defensive line, did not show up today.
Mm-hmm.
I saw plenty of times in which Matt Ryan had to go off of his first look, go off of his second look. He kind of looked around. He was assuming he was running out of time, but guess what? He wasn't, because the defensive line was not there. And Jesus Christ, linebackers. Holy cow. I didn't think Jared Davis meant that this much to this team, but he absolutely does, because no offense to Nick Ballore. I'm sure you're a fine special teams player.
Fire up
chips. I don't want to see you out there again.
Fire up chips.
No offense, Paul Warlow, but I'm starting to see why the Falcons fans are so happy that you're no longer on your team. There was just missed tackle after missed tackle after missed tackle. 151 rushing yards for the Falcons, 5.4 yards per carry. And those numbers honestly seem small.
They seem low.
Yeah. The Falcons had no issue moving the ball at will all game. Their only issue was turnovers. And give Glover Quinn credit, give Darius Slay credit, but don't give credit to anyone else on this defense, because they didn't do their job today.
Can I ask, and again, bad fan here, I didn't actually get to see the game, but I don't even see Ezekiel Ansah on the box score. Did he play today?
He did. You wouldn't know it.
That's okay. That's why I wanted to clear it, because I was about to go in on him once again being a ghost, but I wanted to make sure he wasn't like sitting on the sidelines and then you guys tell me mid rant that I've got it all wrong. I'm trying to be more than adequate right now.
Go ahead and go all in and say that Jared Aberderis had more tackles than Ezekiel Ansah in this game, because that's truth.
Anthony Zettel had a sack. Jeremiah Valuaga had a sack. Who did not have it a sack? Ezekiel Ansah. So if you want to ask the question of, hey, is Ezekiel Ansah back or did he just feast on Ereck Flowers? You got your answer right there. I'm sorry. Yep. Like, if Ezekiel Ansah wants the big contract, he cannot be ghost, show up ghost. Like, it needs to be consistent.
Yeah, he was a non-factor against the Cardinals. And then he had a huge game on Monday night because everybody is beating Ereck Flowers like the dead horse he is. And if you can't get consistent play out of Ezekiel Ansah, he doesn't need to have three sacks every game. He doesn't even need to have a sack every game. I mean, all of us saw the kind of impact, and I know they play different positions, but like everybody knew the impact that Ndamukong Suh had while he was here. It's all about generating pressure and hurries. And even if you're not the one recording the sacks, if you're the one who's forcing teams to you know, double team you or to throw the running back your way, as long as you're creating opportunities for other guys to clean those up, then you're proving your worth. Ezekiel Ansah is not proving his worth. Like, he does not deserve, like, at this point, I'm not even sure if I would use a franchise tag on him, because that's going to be a very costly number for a guy whose production is at least at through this point and all of last year. I know he was hampered by injury, but like, it's replicable by like a first round pick if the Lions decide to go pass rusher.
Yeah, I know people have been like talking about Ansah over the offseason about how he was a strength for the team, but I'm sorry, I've only ever seen one really good year out of him, 2015. Like, that's really it. So I don't know what to really do with that. And by the way, speaking of people who are starting to have, you know, we're starting to really have second looks. And I know we sound really angry right now, and you would be right, we are angry. But I mean, we've been kind of, and the Lions are 2-1. I really don't know what to make of that right now. But this was just, yeah, I think Jeremy's right. Like, if the Lions had won, it would have masked up a lot of these problems. But yeah, Jeremy, well, you wanted to jump in here before I get to
the name. Let me talk about Ansa just for another second. I think it's important to be a little bit more patient with him. Obviously, the Lions don't have to make a decision about franchising him or long-term deal or anything like that. I think the Lions love the guy. This is a guy who also missed all the preseason. This is a guy who missed all of training camp because he was injured. So we're talking about Ansa like all of his injury things are in the past when they clearly aren't. He's been on the injury report every week. He was questionable this week. He's not at full health. So I don't think it's time to bury this guy yet. But at the same time, he needs to show up in big games like this. He absolutely does.
How much longer is the injury thing going to continue to be like the shield, though? Like, it just kind of constantly have to be, because we just had an entire, we just wrote off 2016, a whole year as being like, yeah, he was injured. That's why he didn't play well.
Yeah, but isn't the fact that he's been injured now for almost a year and a half, isn't that a problem in and of itself?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, that's not a guy that I'm going to give a long-term deal to. Like, I mean, maybe, yeah, if he starts to put together some consistent play at the level of which the Lions are expecting him to and the level of which he should be paid as a top five pass rusher in the NFL, like, franchise tag him then. But until he starts showing that, let him go.
Can we switch the other side of the ball and the other guy who I was very, like, I don't usually get mad at him and I usually defend him. And I totally understand the, you know, how bad it's got to be to have the lens so tightly focused on you. But today felt like the day I finally jumped off the Eric Ebron train.
Jeremy, do you think that anybody on offense had a worse performance than Eric Ebron?
There's probably someone in the offensive line who did, to be honest.
Well,
but
I mean, Zach Kerin removed.
No, there's no excuse for the game that Eric Ebron had, and Eric Ebron haters. Oh, he absolutely knows it. He knows said after he the does, game, yeah. He said after the game that he played horribly. You know, two catches on seven targets is never going to do it. And he had two very bad drops. And on the last drive, I said this on Facebook Live, he made a good cut up the seam and then he made it too vertical when he had room on the inside. Stafford tried to lead him that way. Ebron had to die for it, didn't catch it. With a better route run there, the Lions are first and goal well before the pass interference call. It was a horrible game by him, and I know people love to hate on Ebron, and they got their game to do so, but, you know, Ebron has had an issue with drops. I know I'm not the first to say this, but it's been consistent, and maybe at times it's blown out of proportion, but for this game, it wasn't. He had two extremely crucial drops, one on, I think, third down that probably would have picked up a first down, and then one on second down that would have turned, instead of a third and 10, would have probably made it a third and three or third and four, and that's a huge difference.
Yeah, I just don't know what to do with Eric Ebron. Like, last week felt like he had a good game, and I kind of was able to pave over for it. But I think this thread going through Ebron and Ansa is just consistency. It's just really hard to get consistency out of these two guys. And these two guys are the guys that the Lions have to decide for their future very soon about both of them. Both of them have contracts coming up.
Yep. And I mean, I want to talk a little bit more about the offense in general, because they are just as much to blame for this loss as the defense, as the refs, as the rules, as anything. I mean, they
well,
just
hold
didn't
up before we do that. I got to say, like, are we going to excuse anyone from this list? Because I was going to say TJ Jones didn't have a ton of stuff, but he caught everything thrown his way.
He made it two really big catches in this game. Mm-hmm. And that's fine.
And,
but
he also did a really good job of taking a knee every time in the end zone on kick return.
Also really true. Missing Dwayne Washington there. Yeah. And then I don't know, what you feel about Golden Tate?
I mean, it
didn't really move the needle. I mean, like, he played well, played fine.
Just the offense as a unit, though, they just didn't do anything until it was too late. I mean, until
the very end of the game. They had one touchdown drive until, well, they had one touchdown drive, period.
Yeah.
Unless you count the last one.
Real quick, what I want to touch on is something that bothered me and will probably even bother me when I go back and watch this game even more. Why the Lions were trying to attack the flats with their running backs rather than over the middle. Like, they did it a couple times where they got Theo Riddick the ball over the middle, and they were big gains. Like, I think the one time he had a pass caught that ended up going for 16 yards across the middle. But then there were the two instances in which it was third and two, and the Lions tried to target Theo Riddick in the flats, and they both ended up as non-gains. So, you know, they ended up in drop passes, actually. One of them was a bad pass from Stafford. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to attack the flats against the Falcons defense that seems to be pretty fast sideline to sideline. So that bothered me a lot. Yeah, there were some other things schematically that bothered me too with the offense, but
just two more names from the box score here. Once again, Amir Abdullah, 3.4 yards per carry. And let's see here. Once again, quiet day for Marvin Jones. Three receptions on six targets, only 24 yards. Is this going to be a problem? Is this offense going to be a problem this year?
It was certainly a problem today. They didn't score a touchdown until the third quarter.
It's the same as it was last year. It's inconsistent at times. It'll frustrate the hell out of you for two, three quarters, and then they'll somehow turn it on in the fourth quarter. And it all comes down to not having a running game. The Lions don't have a running game. They didn't have a running game last week. They didn't have a running game week one. They don't have a running game now. And they insist on trying, and I get that. I think they should try.
You have to try.
They need to try something else because these stretch plays aren't working. These runs to the left when you have a left tackle that shouldn't be in the game and you have a left guard who's joined the team 3 weeks ago and a center who's your backup center. Why are you running to the left, period? We talked pregame, you and me, Ryan, about trying to catch this defense off balance by doing some sort of trickeration, you know, reverses, end arounds, screens, double screens, things like that to make sure that this Falcons D-line didn't get too aggressive and had to keep on guessing. And they didn't come up with a game plan that resembled anything like that. They just tried the same boring run plays, a couple draws in there. Ooh, a second and 10 draw. How exotic. It didn't work. It doesn't work. And I know we're really, really bagging on a team really hard right now for one that just came inches short of beating the NFC champions. But this is frustrating because the Lions won this game. They won the turnover battle 3-0 in this game. They're at home. There's no reason you lose those sort of games. You shouldn't. And the reason, like, they did is because they played bad. They played a bad game. I'm sorry, they did.
Yeah, I think and I think the frustrating thing is, like, we'd be bringing this up either way if they had won, because this wasn't a good game. And I told the Falcoholic in the five questions, like, I don't know what this team is. And I think I got the answer today is that this team is just very sloppy. Through these first three games, it's pretty sloppy. It's pretty inconsistent. And I think today, more than any other, told us, like, just how much this team has some major problems on offense. And yeah, you'd be feeling great at 3-0. But I don't know how you look at this game if the Lions had won and don't think to yourself, there's a reckoning coming. There's absolutely a reckoning coming if they were 3-0 and yet we're still playing like this and have this kind of late season scheduled to where they have to go on the road to the Saints and then play the Steelers, then go to Lambeau in November. And then the end stretch where you're playing, going on the road to the Bucs, playing the Bears, on the road to the Bengals, playing the Packers to end the season, there will probably still be stumbles down the stretch.
There's always going to be stumbles, and no team is going to have a perfect record on, I mean, no team outside of the Patriots, whatever, are going to have a season where every week looks amazing. I mean, this week itself was insane. The Packers nearly lost to the Bengals. I can't even describe what happened in London. Just a whole bunch of weird stuff.
and
dropped 44 on the Falcons.
Ravens.
The Jets friggin'
Ravens. Ravens. I wish it had been the Falcons.
The Jets won a game, period.
The Bills beat the Broncos.
Yes. This is what I'm talking about. A bunch of weird things happen. The Lions had a rough game. I don't think this means they're a terrible team. I don't think this means that it was a farce for them to come so close against the Falcons. I think they can compete with any team in this league, just like they could last year. They are going to have some things fall their way, and they are going to have to improve in some facets.
And they're going to have to get healthy. They're going to have to get healthy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because Jared Davis was a huge, huge, huge
absence.
Absolutely. As was Travis Swanson. But
yeah, that's the thing. I think this offensive line is very good. It's probably one of the strengths of the Lions this year. But it's shown once you have these injuries, it all falls apart. Talk all you want about Taylor Decker. This team would not be having any of these problems with Taylor Decker. But if you lose Travis Swanson, you then have to figure out how to rejigger your left guard, because you try moving Graham Glasgow to center, where he's a decent guard, but he's not a good center. And then this team apparently has given up all hope on Joe Dahl, that they went to someone who they just picked up off the streets a few weeks ago.
Well, yeah. And to be fair to Joe Dahl, though, he was also inactive because he was injured. But
oh, okay, fine. This is why I'm trying not to jump in too much on this, because I miss these. I'm not doing the injury reports anymore, so I miss some of this stuff.
Well, the Lions, if we want to talk about missing stuff, do you think the Lions miss Lake and Tomlinson today?
No.
I mean, I would much rather have had Lake and Tomlinson in there than Zach Karen.
I don't think the Delta is that
much. Zach Karen is literally a fire extinguisher. He should only be broken out in case of emergency. And today was in case of emergency. And you know what? I would have rather just burned to death.
Okay. Do you think they used him when the basement caught on fire today?
I mean, yes. how Morty transformed into a car.
Morty.
Yeah, or Hammer Morty. Zach Karen would transform into a
extinguisher. Karen
extinguisher for sure. Extinguisher Karen. But the other thing I want to say is that the Falcons ran the ball extremely well against the Lions defense. And yes, Jared Davis will go great lengths to improve the Lions rushing defense. But the Falcons did not have a good day in the passing game at all. This is something that I've been catching a lot of flack for on Twitter, but Matt Ryan was kind of sloppy today.
I mean, it's three turnovers. This is the guy who was supposed to have taken the next step and become an elite quarterback. Do three turnovers against this Lions secondary.
Here's what I want to say real quick. Yes.
And then we got to get out of here. Yeah.
Two of the interceptions were off of receivers' hands. The ones that ended up in Darius Slay's hands for interceptions. And I totally get that. But the same people want to say, well, you can't call Matt Ryan's day a fluke if the Lions are forcing all these turnovers every week. Excuse me. The Lions played the Cardinals in week one. That team is a tire fire. And the New York Giants offense the second week. And you want to point to that small sample size and say the Lions are the most efficient defensive turnover forcing team in the NFL. That's a farce. Matt Ryan had a bad game today. He threw 7 interceptions last season. Today he threw 3. Is that a fluke?
Yes.
I would say so.
Yeah, but I think I don't think it was a bad day for Matt Ryan, honestly, at all. I mean, how often do you throw for 3 picks and still almost have an 80 passer rating?
He missed some throws too, though. So that Matt Ryan was just not the Matt Ryan that everybody thinks he is today. And the Falcons still won in Detroit.
All right.
Pump the brakes on the Lions being in the class of the NFC.
Okay, fine. I will. Jesus. I like Darius Slay on all these turnovers, but yeah, that's what it is. All right, let's talk. I want to talk about something a little more that was happening around the NFL, because I know Jeremy's already terrified of this, but we need to talk about it. We'll be right back. Pride to Detroit podcast, PODcast, rolling along here. Are we still mad? Are we, it's been about like 35 minutes in here. Are you guys still mad?
Yep.
Have we not burned it out yet?
No, I don't think it's going away until I sleep tonight.
Okay. Can you at least turn it to some positivity now?
You think this segment's going to be all about positivity?
I'm going to try. I'm going to rightly try.
All right, go for it.
I want to do some shout outs now. I want to give some praise. We've been slamming a lot of people. Now I need to offer a little bit of praise. First off, I'm going to praise Rico Lavelle, and I hope I sang his name right. Rico started the day with 140 followers on Twitter. Little known person, just kind of doing his own music. Took the immense, giant, titanium Quiones to, while he was singing the national anthem on the middle of Ford Field, to get down on one knee, pump his fist in the air as he's singing Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, and then put his fist up with the microphone. Dude rules. He now has like over 1,000 followers, and he is he's prospering, as we say.
All right. Keep going.
Keep going. I want to keep the positivity going, because it's been amazing to see what's been going across the NFL today. And I'm getting political. And you know what? You ain't going to stop me, because this time it came to your doorstep. This time, your milkshake president. I'm sorry, that Deadspin thing. If you have not seen this tweet, go back and look for Deadspin with the wisdom of a milkshake president. And you will find the speech where Donald Trump is talking about the football being ruined. It really does sound like Master Shake. It's hilarious. And yeah, no, seen some good stuff around the league today. What can I say? Like, it's really cool. It's really cool, because I grew up when that anthem meant something insanely different. Because what people don't understand is these politics have always been in the anthem. But when it was in the 2000s, when it was in the aughts, it meant something completely different. Those flyovers, those bombers, all those troops meant something insanely different. It was your politics. It was just a different brand of politics. It was the politics that got Pat Tillman killed. And then they tried to lie and cover it up.
Positivity.
Woo! Sorry, I'm trying to keep it positive. Yeah. So who were the 8 who went down on the knee? Because I want to shout them out. Because I saw my big, beautiful boy, A'shaun Robinson, did well today in that regard.
Amir Abdullah was one of them.
Amir Abdullah. Where the hell was it?
A'shaun Robinson, Cornelius Washington, Akeem Spence, Jeremiah Ledbetter, Steve Longa, Amir Abdullah, Tahir Whitehead, Jalen Reese-Maben.
Cool. Very cool, guys. Love them all. What's the locking arm thing? I really don't understand this thing. I know some people have been doing lock arms, and I saw Stafford was doing that.
It's a symbol for unity.
Oh, so it's just really lame stuff. Okay. Fine. I mean, what do you guys think about what's been going on with the NFL? Come on. You can't all be scared of the subject.
I'm tired of it, honestly. We all knew this was coming last night. I spent way too much time on Twitter Saturday night arguing with people. Yeah, it's cool and all, but it sickens me to see people that offended by people making a statement that they're quitting Lions fandom forever. That's really depressing to me, that you can't understand. You can't at least understand people feeling like they're being let down by their country and wanting to take a stand about it.
Right.
And so you might not agree with them, but just the fact that you think that their sole purpose is to disrespect the flag when you're not paying attention to what they're really doing all this for. And then you're turning that into I'm turning in my Lions card. That's sad to me.
Yeah, like, I think that's the big thing, Jeremy, is that this whole debate has been so reframed so many times. People have tried to move the goalposts on this thing so many times. The original message of why this protest even exists in the first place almost feels like it has been lost. And it's not been lost by any fault of the people protesting. You can talk, like, so don't try to take that and say, well, the players should be more specific about what they want. No, they're being insanely specific. You're just not paying attention at home. That's on you.
Well, no, Bob Costas wants everybody to like the injury report. He wants them to list out what they're protesting. Like, wouldn't that just make so much more sense?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, put out a list that absolutely no one will read, and then we'll just all keep doing the same thing.
We'll just do like Sunday Night Football intros where the players are talking. They have that like 5-second thing where they tell where they're from and what they're protesting.
I actually like this idea now.
Please, will you protest on our terms?
Right, exactly. Like, that's like not how protests
yeah,
work.
Yeah, people. That's not how it works. That's not how that's you. All you guys want these peaceful protests, you know, the conscientious dissension. You know what that means? It means like at some point they just you can't just ignore them. It's not like people are on the side of the street and you just drive by them and pay no attention, because that's what would happen. They're doing it on your terms. You just ignore them completely. And I find it amazing that people from a political spectrum who have made it their entire worldview about how their opponents are effete, that they're whining, that they are the ones who are the soft snowflakes who are always getting their feelings hurt, are the ones now crying constantly about how their flag is so disrespected and about how these other people are so entitled. They're the ones with their feelings hurt. That's you. You manly conservatives out there. You're the ones with your fifis hurt. Go to hell.
But positive. We're keeping it positive.
I'm trying. I'm trying.
No. No, you have a point, though, because, like, I mean, I hate to use all the same stupid rhetoric that you know, each side has been throwing at each other, but, like, the whole safe space thing, like, everyone wants sports to be their safe space now. Like, yeah. Colleges are the safe space for the liberals. I guess sports are the safe place for the conservatives. You know, keep, you know, protest on your own time. Football, I watch football for sports, not politics. But, like, I'm sorry. There's an intersection with everything. And
again, like, those politics were there always. It was just a different brand of politics. It was a politics in service of, and here's the crazy lefty in me, it was in service of imperialism. It was in service of the military and police are so great and wonderful, aren't they? Look at them. Just look at our massive bombers flying overhead, bombers with the power to level entire cities, to level Fallujah, to level anywhere we want. Just look at them fly overhead, our wonderful weapons. And you know what? Now some people are showing you that, no, like, this country has left a lot of people in the dirt. And you got to answer for that at some point. And that's, again, that's what the protest is about. Like, I'm even seeing people on the left trying to turn this into that the players are protesting against Trump specifically. Don't get it twisted. This protest started under Obama, and the problems they were protesting have absolutely existed under Democratic governments, Democratic Party governments as well. This is not party politics here. This is not about Republican versus Democrat, what they are trying to talk about. And if you try to make it about that, you are part of the problem too.
Amir Abdullah, Nebraska, and I'm protesting inequality.
It does have a nice ring to it. Maybe they should do that.
Right? That'd be perfect.
Great. It would be great.
Taylor Decker, the Ohio State University, systemic racism. I'm really all about this idea. So, I mean, like, if I'm going to offer anything to this discussion, the only thing that really upset me as a Lions fan and as somebody who really takes a lot of pride in the fact that they come from Michigan and somebody who goes to Detroit and isn't scared by Detroit and wants to see Detroit return to the city that it once was. The people who were booing when they announced that the NFL during this anthem that they were about to sing was in an effort to celebrate our differences. When I heard booing in Ford Field, I was really disappointed, like truly disappointed. Like a father would be, you know, like a father would tell his son he was disappointed in how they were acting. Like, that just bothered me.
Yeah. And I know, I don't want to play this card out, but I mean, it's no secret. A lot of the fans at Ford Field, they're not from Detroit. Like, sure. Maybe they come from, they're from the metro area or they're from other parts of Michigan, but there's a reason why they haven't been in Detroit for a very long time.
No, I mean, I guarantee that if they if they tried to send that same message at Little Caesars Arena on the opening night of the Pistons, that same reaction would not happen. Absolutely
yes,
not.
Yes, the Pistons are a far more are far more team that it's a team that speaks, especially in 2004, and you know that dynasty that spoke a lot more to the heart of the city of Detroit itself.
Yeah, and I mean, just by and large, like you said, not everybody who shows up to those, not everybody shows up to Lions games are people who live in Wayne County, which is predominantly African American. Like the people who show up to Lions games, they happen, you know, at most like every other week. People have these planned out. They happen on Sundays. People from all over the state come to these games. So I don't know. Shame on all those people who are booing. If you're booing, then I don't fuck with you.
These are your players. Like, you know, you should respect what these players are. Like, what the hell? Like, isn't this something we're supposed to celebrate across sports? Jackie Robinson? Jim Brown? What happened with that? You know what? Thinking of that, I've got another one for you, Ryan. Glover Quinn, University of New Mexico. The workers seizing the means of production.
Golden Tate, Notre Dame. For-profit prison system.
Destroy it.
All right, can we move on to the mailbag?
Yes, let's get on to the mailbag. Now that I hope you can at least, like, I think a lot of our listeners do somewhat at least find what we're saying reasonable. If you do not, then at least I would just say open your mind to it. Like, you're not alone here. And you know what? The amazing thing is that I don't think the owners wanted any of this. And no matter what, like, they shouldn't want any of this. They're just trying to sell a product. And that means not being political, because political in what you're trying to sell don't sell you much. You got to try to appeal to as many people as possible. And yet, like, they've been dragged into this no matter what they want to do. Like, I know Martha Ford put out a statement today. It wasn't really that. I didn't really think it was like that hard hitting of a statement, but they've been backed in this corner now. And you know what? The politics came to the sports this time. Let's do the mailbag. Would that make you happy, Jeremy?
I can't wait.
Are you going to stop being angry when we do the mailbag?
I don't know what's going to happen when I read this amazing review coming up next.
Oh yeah. The vaunted review you've been threatening me with for like 3 weeks. We'll be right back. Mail time, hashtag ask POD. You know what it is. You know what time it is. You already know who it is. Jeremy, the reviews.
We've got two more reviews. These are our last two. So that means it's a call out for more reviews, please.
How many are we at to total?
77. Pretty
good. All right.
Good.
That just means 23 more and Wrestling Talk dies forever.
Okay, I don't even know how to start this one, except by assuring you that I did not write it. It's by someone who calls himself God I Love Jeremy R. It's a 5-star review. The title
I like
of
where
the
this is going.
The title of the review is God I Love Jeremy Reisman. And here's what it says. I mean, how could you not? He is the cutest member of the Pride of Detroit staff, and it's not particularly close. Now, I know this isn't a visual medium, and I don't judge based on I shouldn't judge based on appearances. But as he talks, I can just see in my mind his shoulders eagerly swaying to and fro as he thinks, and his glowing, sweet complexion. I hear his voice, and I imagine his masculine nose, big enough to be a dominant facial feature, but dainty enough to conjure thoughts of a graceful wood nymph. This is all before I've even touched on his luscious curling mane of hair and his adorable, thick, just large enough glasses. I don't like to admit to fantasies, but let's just say in a game of MFK, Jeremy would never be killed, and I'm not sure I could wait long enough for marriage. Winky face emoji.
Okay, what? which one of us is getting killed? I just want to know that.
Hold on. I just need to point out that that review was more offensive than anything we said in the past segment.
Ryan can't handle the truth.
No, it is offensive because Ryan's the cutest.
Thank you, Chris.
I try, buddy. I just want to know which one of us they're killing. I really do.
Maybe they can leave another review.
Probably me.
I hate adequate co-host has a next review. No.
Wait.
I'm just kidding. let me fan myself off for a second so I can read the second review.
Rid of the vapors, Jesus.
The second review is from A Ready 01. The review is called Mozzarella Sticks. It reads, a must listen for hardcore Lions fans. The banter that Chris, Jeremy, and Ryan provide each week perfectly balances Lions commentary and fun non-football topics. I'm studying at USC and being able to listen to the podcast during my Monday morning commute on the 110 makes sitting in traffic an adequate experience. The podcast and the post-game FB streams these guys do have become essential parts to my Lions fandom. Keep up the great work.
Fight on, baby.
Fight on.
3-0. Took out Cal this weekend.
No one cares.
I do want to say Sam Darnold kind of has that same thing going on, like with the Lions offense, like with Matt Stafford, where it's like he's just awful for a while, and then he realizes he's playing in a football game and turns it on in the fourth quarter. So my Saturdays and my Sundays are starting to feel very similar.
Jeremy, explain to people how you feel about Saturdays and Sundays now and how they've flip-flopped.
Well, I just remember when I went to college before the Appalachian State game, Saturdays were like the fun days where it's like, oh, I get to see a good football team. I get to see them win. Sundays were like, oh, God, this is where, like, this is the come down. This is the, oh, great. The weekend is over. I'm preparing myself for Mondays.
This is the hangover.
Yes. And this Michigan team is not at all fun to watch right now. And I know they're still 4-0. And I know they came on and John O'Korn has got the life. But I'm not too confident about this season once Big Ten play kicks in, but
I was adequate. The Trojans are 4-0. I forgot there was a fourth game played. I kind of wrote out Western Michigan.
What?
Western? I said 3-0.
Yeah, how do you forget about Western?
How do you forget about the directional Cardinal colleges?
Row that boat. All right, let's do mailbag. Kind of have a light one. We got it out late. We should have put on the qualifier not to ask us about the Lions, because it seems like we're just going to get mad when we talk about the Lions again. But we are going to dive into this. We are going to really try hard. Oh my God, we have 24 replies. Let's see what happens here. I want to take four questions as one here from Lethal Sacks. Do you think Detroit lost because the home crowd booed the anthem kneelers? Do you think God hates me? Do you think I should just cut a toe off just to feel? Do you think I should somersault off a mountain and record it via drone?
That'd probably be a pretty sweet drone video. I mean, I'm not into snuff films or anything, but that, like, I feel like Red Bull would sponsor that video.
I want to go watch Batman versus Superman right now.
Get out of here.
No, go. Don't go. Don't go to the bad place, Ryan. Do not go to the bad place. All right.
I just need
Lions dude 419, or should I say Big Slick McDick. You can make pretty good mini pizzas with canned biscuit dough for the crust. This isn't a question. Sorry.
As I said on Twitter, Evan is the hero that none of us deserve after today.
Jesse, how many calories of depression eating can I consume and it be acceptable?
Calories don't count after a Lions loss. And a fun story. Back in high school, there was a girl who really thought that calories didn't count when you ate out.
Phrasing.
Oh, man. When you went to go eat out at a restaurant. Oh, I hate football.
The correct answer is a full can of Pillsbury dough that's been made into pizzas that pizza. Evan just told about.
No, the correct answer, and I know the exact calorie count, it is 2,100, which is the amount of calories you get with a full sugared pop if you go to Jack in the Box for a late night munchies meal with spicy nacho chicken sandwich as your entree.
That is a very good answer, Chris. I am all about that.
Hey, while we're on the topic of Jack in the Box, I need to give a shout out to the guy who recognized me at Buffalo Wild Wings last week. I meant to give him a shout out last week. He's a Lions fan. He listens to the podcast, and he was in the Burbank Buffalo Wild Wings last week. Shout out, nice. Go Lions!
Another answer though, Chris, you could eat 2,500 calories, and that's the equivalent of 10 Butterfingers. So you are allowed to eat 10 Butterfingers.
How was that this week, Jeremy? How was that today? Is that why you hate everything so much? Is because you had to do the Butterfingers before this game?
He said it wasn't as bad as he thought it was going to be.
It didn't taste as bad as it. I mean, but I'm also eating a Butterfingers at 8 a.m. and that's not a pleasant thing to do. And I did feel a little sick afterwards.
Breakfast of champions, baby.
Mansur asks us, can I blame this entire loss on Stafford somehow? I think that's what's going to happen on Monday on our favorite radio stations.
No, I think Stafford has finally made the turn, honestly.
You think so?
I honestly do. I mean, he's part of the reason this game was extra frustrating is because the Lions were so close to having that signature win that would have people shut up finally.
I mean, he did throw low on the final pass to Tate.
Yeah, no.
He's pretty immune, I think, at this point. Like, unless
so. Okay.
I think the last time that Stafford's, I mean, sans that finger injury that I hate when people bring up the whole mini collapse to the end of last season, because Stafford clearly was not throwing the ball the way that he used to or the way that he was before the injury. But I mean, honestly, I think the last time that Stafford really got pegged with a whole lot of blame was probably the Bears game last year, the first game that the Lions played the Bears. And I don't know, I think just like from that point onward, disregarding the finger injury stuff, like I think Stafford's pretty immune to, like,
he's kind of had that, he's finally got made like Andrew Luck.
I think he's kind of like a made man. Yeah.
Okay. I can buy that. Let's see here. Dylan Anderson, unless Ebron finishes the season with 7 touchdowns and 900 yards, do you agree the Lions should start to look for different options at tight end?
They already have.
Yeah, Michael Roberts.
And Darren Fells. They went out and got 2 tight ends this offseason. So.
Yeah, I think the writing's on the wall. This is kind of the show me season for Ebron. And so far, like, I root for the guy, but so far it hasn't really been a great campaign. But you got 13 more games to go. Let's go. We can get to 900 yards. All right, Ryan Collins. Is this the week Media Senpai notices the Lions? Nah. I do like the use of Senpai, though.
Yeah, I mean, if the Lions would have played better front to back, maybe. I mean, this play, the controversial call is going to get plenty of play.
By the way, I think I'm with this answer, even if they had won, because it would just paint it up as like, oh, look at those Lions. They just keep, you know, pulling off those fourth quarter comebacks.
Yeah, it's no. I mean,
I don't care. I don't care how the national media covers the Lions. They can do whatever the hell they want. They can ignore them. They can say they're not good. They can pick against them every week. I don't care.
They can drop them in the power rankings after they win on Monday Night Football on the road.
Sure. I don't care, because we do plenty fair coverage over at Pride of Detroit.
And no, we're not. We're biased and we're homers.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen to this entire podcast and say we're homers.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently we get our marching orders straight from the team. You know, Martha Firestone Ford, that she hands down a letter to us every week. We go point by point and we make the magic happen.
She called me this morning, actually.
Oh, yeah. What'd she talk about?
She did. Well, she said, first, I need you, son, to make sure that my battery is charged in my Mustang go-kart.
Okay. Ray Stockinus Should the Lions make banners for all their apology letters accrued from the NFL for blown calls and hang them from the rafters?
I like that better than playoff wins.
Absolutely.
That's a great idea, actually. Like not just like the years that they happened in descriptions, but like, I mean, like the full letter blown up and like as an actual banner.
I don't even think you need to blow them up. Just 12-point font, just stitch them all together.
That's a tapestry of batted balls and Calvin Johnson rules.
Mm-hmm. All right, the main man. If we brought in Kaepernick to kneel every time the refs screwed us, do you think the world would finally take notice?
I just had a great idea. Do you remember how Darko Milicic used to be the human victory cigar?
Kind of like how Boban was for a couple of years ago, too.
Yeah, like Darko would just come in at the end of games and you knew the game was over because if Darko's in, the Pistons were obviously up a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody needs to sign Colin Kaepernick and have him just come in victory formation when the game's over and kneel the football.
I like this.
Take knees.
Would that get people any more riled up?
Absolutely. Oh my God. So much so.
Because literally context. That's all it is. Context. We're talking about Darko Milicic when we need to give the people what they want, which is an update on Christian Hackenberg.
What happened with our Hackensack today?
His team won.
Well, that's bad.
Yeah, that is bad. Well, good for him because potentially maybe they'll miss out on Sam Darnold.
Except Josh McCown was the only one passing in this game.
I'm sure Christian Hackenberg was inactive again. Let me check real quick because
Christian Hackenberg won more games. He won more games in week three than Matthew Stafford did. And those are the facts, Jack.
I hate you so much.
Inactive yet again.
Who knew? Oh, sorry.
Still a part of the team? A winning team. Can't say it for these same Lions. Can't say the same.
Stuart MC26. Why can't we have nice things?
Because for some reason, those are all given to Green Bay. And it sucks. It sucks ass.
It sucks ass.
When do they finally get to crash?
I don't know. That's why we have to take wins when Olivia Munn dumps Aaron Rodgers. That has to be a win for the Lions. We have to care about that because that's the only way the Packers ever lose.
And the worst part is like I in a normal universe, I would like Aaron Rodgers because he's a guy that you want to like. And I can't because I root for the Lions and he's on the Packers and there's just hate in my heart just thinking about these this is how tribalism works. This is how jingoism works. These borders that divide us.
I'm just like, would I hate Aaron Rodgers if he played for a different team?
I don't think outside of the NFC North, I don't think you would.
Like, what if he played for the Tennessee Titans? Like, would I really hate Aaron Rodgers? I don't think I would.
I wouldn't. I think the only team if he played for that I might hate him for is maybe if he played on like Washington or New England.
What if he played for the Bears?
I said outside the NFC North.
Okay.
Yeah. If he's playing in the NFC North, we're still hating him. Absolutely. Because he's just owning us every year still.
Guys, this is the hate cast. Let's not try to come up with hypotheticals in which we don't hate Aaron Rodgers because we hate Aaron Rodgers. And today is the day for hate.
God, I hate that he won.
The Bengals were up 21-7 and they lost. Aaron Rodgers was 0-7 coming into today's game in overtime games. And of course, why not? Why wouldn't this be the game where he wins finally?
And I believe the Bengals are the only team he has never beaten before today.
Christ.
Today is the Patriots won too.
The Patriots won too. The Patriots were about to get beat by a rookie quarterback, and that has never happened to them before. And guess what? Tom Brady over Deshaun Watson. Fuck the world.
Five touchdown passes.
I hate football.
NFL sucks ass.
Thank you for listening to the Pride Detroit PODcast. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. Our main theme was produced by Brian Shepherd. You can find him on Twitter and on SoundCloud at I am Brian Shepherd, IamBrianSheppard. Thanks a lot to him. Check out his stuff. He's been great. He gave us Victory Monday, so go check him out. That's I am Brian Shepherd. And thank you for everyone who keeps listening and makes us one of the greatest Lions podcasts possible. Y'all are awesome. See you, Star Side.
I was going to say A'shaun Robinson, Alabama, bar tabs.